Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted once again from the NFL Scouting Combine in downtown Indianapolis. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz from Packers.com. And Wes, on Wednesday here at the Indiana Convention Center, we heard from both head coach Mike McCarthy and general manager Ted Thompson. They had their various media sessions. And if there was one theme that came out of their talks with reporters, is that they would like to see as many as possible of the Packers' pending free agents back in Green Bay. There's a lot of work to be done, but that's their desire at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty similar script to what the Packers have had the last few years. Draft and develop, you want to be able to sign your own guys this time of the year. But, you know, there is a lot of guys that they're going to have to make decisions on. And I think when you really break it down, one of the top guys that is at the top of that list is Eddie Lacy, in exactly which direction they want to go in the backfield right now. Mike McCarthy made it sound really he'd like to have him back. I mean, he sounded really intrigued in terms of what he could potentially do in a backfield with Ty Montgomery. I thought that was one of the more surprising things that kind of came out of the first media session with McCarthy here at the Combine was how much he kind of talked about that, because, you know, typically he doesn't get into hypotheticals, but he couldn't help but be somewhat intrigued by what that potential combo could do on the field.
Yeah, he spoke about the need, the desire to have different running styles in the backfield. I don't know if you'd call Lacy and Montgomery a potential thunder and lightning or whatever you might want to say, but they aren't the same running back.
Right.
And the fact that you can change things up, go with one guy or the other, potentially, if the Packers can get Lacy re-signed and if obviously he gets healthy coming off of the ankle surgery from last year, it would really be a very different type of backfield maybe than McCarthy's ever had in his offense in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, you go back, Mike, I'd say 2013, they kind of had a vision for what they wanted to do. They had DeJuan Harris, who was more of a scat back, and they had Eddie Lacy coming in as a pounder. They thought that those two guys could potentially be that 1-2 punch, that thunder and lightning. Harris ends up having a knee injury that takes him out of the equation. James Starks was a really similar type back to Lacy, but was very effective as their spelling guy in that 1-2 combination. The thing about Ty Montgomery that brings you such an intriguing sort of skill set is the fact that he was a receiver. He does have the background there. He is a good pass catcher out of the backfield, and as we saw in spurts last season, can run between the tackles. So he has all the makings of a three down back as the kind of guy they want to have on the field. And certainly in the 4 years Eddie Lacy, when he's been healthy, you've seen him on the football field as well. Definitely meets that mindset as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned that phrase, three down back. Mike McCarthy talked about how both Eddie Lacy and Ty Montgomery are three down backs, which plays into the idea of the no huddle, the hurry up offense,
right,
that you don't need to substitute based on situations. You put one guy in there, he can be in there for the entire series no matter the down and distance situation. Eddie Lacy can catch passes out of the backfield as well. Both of them have obviously learned the blitz pickup, the pass protection part of things. They bring different things to the table as far as the rushing aspect of things, and it is really intriguing to think about. Now, as you said, it's kind of hypothetical,
yeah,
right now. Eddie Lacy does not have a contract for 2017. He's coming off of the ankle surgery. Mike McCarthy talked about there have been discussions. There are conversations here at the Combine. Agents are here. The Packers people are talking to some of those agents trying to lay the groundwork maybe to bring these guys back to Green Bay with free agency starting next week. But right now, we just kind of have to wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I think the Packers can at least sleep a little bit better at night is seeing what Montgomery did on a short schedule last season. I mean, he picked up that position midstream, and yet he still held it down, particularly down the stretch when he had to start the last seven games of the season after James Starks was injured. So for him being able to do what he did on such a limited workload, now this offseason come April, he'll get a full exposure. He'll be in Ben Sermon's room the entire summer, being able to pick up the nuances of that position. That's going to go a long way. And yeah, if you have Eddie Lacy also available in that room, can only mean good things for this running game, which he really has enjoyed a resurgence since he came on board in 2013.
Yeah, and when you talk about Montgomery continuing that evolution, that development as a running back, the players come back to Green Bay mid-April for the
right
start of off-season workouts. They don't start working with their position coaches necessarily right away. They do a lot of strength and conditioning work and stuff like that. But as you said, you talk about an entire off-season learning that position with the foundation Montgomery got last year, as you said, on short notice and everything. It really is intriguing to think about what type of running back he could become. And I know all the fans are all wondering, well, what number is he going to wear? He's going to change his number from 88. But it's going to be more about what he looks like on the field. And we'll see that in OTAs in late May when the Packers get back on the practice field. And it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, McCarthy said, too, you always look for those guys making that second to third year jump. It's going to be a little bit different in Montgomery's case. There's going to be a lot more factors at play, but certainly a bright future for him now in that backfield for Green Bay.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with a special guest on Packers Unscripted after this. Larry McCarron will be joining us from the NFL Scouting Combine. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Mike Spofford from Packers.com, joined by Larry McCarron. Larry, thanks for hopping in today.
My pleasure, Spoff. It's really good to be here in Indianapolis, where even in the Colt country, Packer fans abound. Here's the deal. Ash Wednesday yesterday, Catholics out there, you know the drill. So I'm at church. I'm in line for communion. Some guy comes up and like, forcibly went like that to me, and I had a Green Bay Packer leather jacket on. He goes, and I'm three people away from the priest. He goes, hey, cool jacket. And then I'm like two people away from the priest, and the guy says, everybody knows God's a Packer fan. I mean, hey, Indianapolis Colt country, I'm looking at Peyton Manning up on the ceiling over here, and this guy stops me in church, so it's a good, comfortable place to be.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Larry, on Wednesday we heard from both head coach Mike McCarthy and general manager Ted Thompson. They spoke with the media. We had all had kind of some individual sessions with Mike McCarthy as well. Your impressions, anything that stood out to you in terms of their comments and thoughts that they shared?
Well, with Mike, and let's face it, the combine and what's going to happen in the draft, it's all kind of speculation, but something Mike said that was for real because it's already happened. He said when he reconvened with his coaching staff, they did something very unique that they've never done before. He had the defensive coaches analyze the offense and vice versa, and then he had them game plan for that other side of the ball. The offense game planning to play the Packers defense. The defense game planning to play the Packers offense. He said it was tremendously educational and plain and simple. After his comment, he goes, we became a better staff during that process. So I thought that was really cool. With Ted, it was interesting. Ted, he's kind of my ilk as a former player in the sense he was a try-hard guy.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you didn't come in as first-round draft choices. You came in fighting your way on the roster and fighting to stay on the team. And so I asked Ted, when he's down here looking at these kids, young men, when he's down here, does he have a little bit of a partiality towards those classic try-hard guys, and you know what I mean? And Ted, matter-of-factly, goes, no, I want some talent. You need talent to win this league. I want talented players, not try-hard guys like myself. That's what he said, and he could have said, or like you, Larry. We got enough of those.
All right, well, sounds good. One thing that stood out to me, Larry, and I want to get your perspective on this as a former offensive lineman, Mike McCarthy said, talking about wanting to bring T.J. Lang back to Green Bay as a pending free agent, veteran offensive lineman, strong locker room leader. He called T.J. Lang the finest offensive lineman he's had the pleasure to coach in 20-plus years in the NFL. That's pretty high praise from a guy like Mike McCarthy with his kind of coaching pedigree. What did you think when you heard him say that?
Actually, Spoffa, came as no surprise. T.J. Lang is a tremendous blend of attitude and ability. Ability-wise, he is one of those rare cats that doesn't have to hold. He moves his feet well enough where he doesn't have to latch on. He can stay in shadow with the defender, just a natural ability. He's also got, I've always thought you have to be a little bit of a jerk to play the game. I mean, you can't be good without being a little bit of a jerk. He's got plenty of that in him. And I mean a jerk in a nice way. You got to sometimes want to stomp on a guy and rub it in it a little bit.
Yeah.
He's got all of that. And then As far as the attitude part of it goes, look at him playing hurt this year and stuff. And he gets hurt, leaves the game, and comes back in. That kind of stuff speaks volumes to everybody on the team. I mean, leadership, you mentioned the locker room part. It starts with performance on the field. T.J. Lang, I mean, it's hard to find guys like T.J. Lang, and I hope the Packers hang on to the guy.
Yeah, I do too. And Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson talked a lot about wanting to get as many of these pending free agents back as possible. But you and I both know the reality. There's not enough room under the salary cap. There aren't enough roster spots, in a sense, to bring them all back when you're adding a draft class and more undrafted rookies that'll be coming in late April and early May. How do you see this landscape? I know we can't make predictions in terms of who's going to come back. And
I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to.
But the Packers have tough decisions to make, don't
they? Absolutely. I'm looking at that list of free agents, most of them unrestricted, a couple restricted guys. I look at that list. And then, you know, I have some personal biases because I see the guys and know the guys. So I look at a neutral website like Pro Football Focus, and they had their hot 100 free agents league-wide. In that 100, there are 9 Green Bay Packers. And so we're not talking about just free agents and like, oh, well, they stay. If they leave, we're talking about free agents who have played and played well. I wouldn't want to have to make some of the decisions because, as you mentioned, Spoff, they can't keep them all. I wouldn't think. They want to keep them all, but they can't.
I wouldn't think anymore. Yeah, that's just the reality of it. But really appreciate you joining us here on Packers Unscripted, Larry.
Hey, wait a second. Before we go, hey, Spaff, you know, they got the field out here. How about a little one-on-one pass pro, buddy? Huh?
I don't think I need to
be the defensive guy? Hey, just beat him.
I don't think I could stand up.
All right.
I don't think I could stand up to this guy. But we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted from the Scouting Combine right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford from Packers.com. And now that I'm done getting schooled by Larry McCarron in the pass blocking drill here, Wes Hodkiewicz has rejoined me here at the NFL Scouting Combine. And Wes, continuing our discussion about the thoughts from Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy that we heard on Wednesday, a little talk of Julius Peppers. Yeah. And no definitive answer yet as to whether the future Hall of Famer is going to continue his career. But Mike McCarthy made one thing pretty clear, and it's that he feels Julius Peppers still has plenty left in the tank.
He does. I mean, he did say once the season was over, Peppers wanted to step away, you know, obviously take some time with this thing. The guy's played 15 NFL seasons. I mean, it was, what, over 200 NFL games that he's been part of. I mean, he's missed, I think, maybe 4 due to injury. Hasn't really missed any time in Green Bay on his own. It's been time that Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff have given him to rest up. So it's incredible the run that he's been on. My guess is this thing is going to eventually end up in Canton for him with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's a transcendent player. I think that's something that was becoming really evident during his time here. I know we were asked this week, I was asked in the insider inbox, a little bit about him, and if you just want to ask for a piggyback ride. Being serious, though, I mean, you got to be in the presence of Julius Peppers to really fully appreciate just how big he is, just how he's built. Guys don't come out of the draft every year like Julius Peppers. He's one of a kind. And certainly, you look at these past 3 seasons, 25 sacks. I think he gave the Packers everything and more than what they could have wished for when they signed him as a 34-year-old free agent 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, 7.5 sacks this past season, plus another one in the playoffs, a big one against the Giants in the wild card game when things weren't exactly going all that well for the Packers early on. You mentioned it. Guys don't come out of the draft like this. We're not going to see a whole lot of 6'7", 285-pound pass rushers here at the Combine this week. There's a reason he was one of the top picks in the draft when he came out. And whether he's just blessed with good luck, good health, obviously keeps himself in great physical condition, what he's done, the number of games that he's played over his career, really pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and you can't also discount what he gave to that locker room. I mean, he became an instant leader in there. And you have to remember, this is a team that has, what, 3-4 guys in there who have played on other NFL teams. For the most part, guys are born and raised in Green Bay, and then that's the way they go about this program. Peppers came in as an outsider, and he quickly really assimilated into what they do here. And now we'll have to see exactly how this all shakes out this offseason. But that was the one thing Mike McCarthy made perfectly clear. There's no thought in his mind that Julius Peppers has had a let up. Still feels like he can play at a high level if he chooses to.
Yeah, now continuing with the discussion of outside linebackers, Clay Matthews was also brought up. And I guess if there's one thing that Mike McCarthy would like to make clear about Clay Matthews, it's that he doesn't care whether you call him an outside linebacker or an inside linebacker. The position label thing doesn't matter with a guy like that. We've talked about it before. He is Dom Capers' best chess piece in terms of where he lines him up. He can line him up anywhere to try to attack offenses, and that part is not going to change no matter how he's listed on the roster.
Yeah, it's not, as I said before, this isn't 1995 anymore. A guy's not just going to be at one position and that's where he's going to take 60 snaps a game. He's going to move around, and I think one thing Mike McCarthy made very clear during the season was that he probably would have moved around a lot more had he not hurt his shoulder, had he not been dealing with the hamstring injury earlier in the season. Kind of limited what they were able to do, and down the stretch, at many points, was just the third down pass rusher. So you got to kind of take his season with a grain of salt, I think. You do need to keep him healthy, and I know everyone's going to talk about the fact he is 30 years old now, and it's tough. You have to find ways to adjust your game, but he's still the big playmaker in this defense, and this defense is at its best when Clay Matthews is impacting the game.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy did tell us that he doesn't feel anything with that shoulder injury is going to be of a serious nature heading into 2017. So hopefully when the new season rolls around, Clay Matthews will be healthy and ready to go. But with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. We'll be back with more from the NFL Scouting Combine on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford and Wes Hodkiewicz from Packers.com coming to you from downtown Indianapolis, the NFL Scouting Combine. And Wes, in the last segment, we were talking about the Packers' outside linebackers, the pass rushers. And there's another pending free agent that Mike McCarthy spoke about, really hoping the Packers can work out a contract and bring him back. And that's Nick Perry, a guy coming off of the best season of his five-year career thus far.
Yeah, you have to feel good for Nick Perry. He's been through a lot, and he's played through a lot. I think that was one of the underlying things when he wasn't able to get on the field was, well, what exactly is going on? I mean, he tried everything within his ability to be able to play, but there's some things he was dealing with, the broken wrist, obviously had some things come up with his shoulder over the past few years, just really inhibited his progress. But the one positive at the end of the 2015 season was the fact that he ended the year healthy.
Yeah.
And was able to take part in the full offseason program for the first time in his career, came back on a one-year deal to Green Bay. And then you go and look what happens. I mean, he ends up coming out right out of the gate. They needed someone to step up when Clay Matthews was injured. And Nick Perry was that guy. 52 tackles, 11 sacks, really put it all together this season. And now, with him being a free agent, can reap the rewards of that. But from the Packers' perspective, really finally got to see what he can do and living up to that first-round potential.
Yeah, and very curious to see what exactly the market will be for the contract for Nick Perry, because we've seen other pass rushers around the league getting franchise-tagged by their teams. Nick Perry not franchise-tagged by the Packers, but he will be one of the sort of coveted available pass rushers out there with a certain pedigree. He had 11 sacks in the regular season in 2016. But shifting gears to a young pass rusher for the Packers that we heard from Mike McCarthy about, and that's Kyler Fackrell, the third round draft pick last year out of Utah State. Mike McCarthy came right out and told us when we had lunch with him on Wednesday, if Fackrell doesn't have that hamstring injury towards the second half of the season, he might have played a lot more. He was really starting to come on and show what he could do both on defense and on special teams. And unfortunately, that hamstring injury sidelined him for a few weeks.
Yeah, Mike, he has such an intriguing body type at 6'5", you know, 245 pounds, just really athletic and gives you a nice presence both, you know, potentially on defense, but also on special teams with what he's able to do. And he was kind of coming on. You saw him make an impact in the Giants game. You saw some of those glimmers of what he did so well at Utah State. And then what happens? The hamstring injury flares up. He misses a few games. And then when he comes back, he's in more of a rotational role. He's going to be in for a big role next season. You know, regardless of who comes back, who is back, they're going to want Kyler Fackrell to make that next step because you can see it. You can see he has big paws. I mean, this is a guy that is going to be able to make some plays for this defense. And I think that's one of the things that Mike McCarthy's pretty excited about looking ahead to 2017.
Yeah, he talked about Fackrell wanting to add 10 to 12 pounds of lean muscle mass, really build him up in the weight room with an NFL offseason program. And that was kind of a theme of McCarthy's in talking about a lot of the draft picks from last season was the work that they can do in the weight room now. this spring leading into their second NFL training camp. Both Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry on the defensive line, guys who showed a lot of ability. Mike McCarthy talked about both of them playing very well down the stretch for the Packers. Talked about Kenny Clark, his arrow pointing straight up in terms of the progress that he was making. But now it's year two, and that progress starts in the weight room. I would expect these guys are really going to get after it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about those two defensive linemen, and obviously for very separate reasons, different body types for sure. But Dean Lowry came in, you saw him do a lot of things he did well at Northwestern. I know he doesn't have the arm length everybody looks for, but he uses his height to his advantage. He uses his really a lot of his leverage to his advantage. And I thought it really showed he can play the three technique too, in addition to being a five technique defensive end at Northwestern. So excited to see where he goes next year. Kenny Clark, I think there's a lot to like about this kid. I mean, if you look at a stat sheet, it's not all going to jump off to you, but throughout the course of the season, he looks stronger. He's still only 21 years old. He'll be 22 in October. I mean, the ceiling is so high for him right now. And I think when you look at the defensive line with having Mike Daniels there, the presence that LaTroy Guyon gives you, that's one of the deepest spots on this team now, and a lot of it had to do with what they did last year in the draft.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy talked about Lowry coming out of Northwestern playing that five technique primarily as a rookie, which is lining up over the offensive tackle. He thinks with that extra time in the weight room, some of the added strength, that he can move inside, play more three technique, one technique over the center and guards a little bit. Kenny Clark, I look back at his stretch run last year. You look at the impact plays he made late in the season. They really started to jump out. He had that big fumble recovery against the Minnesota Vikings. He batted down a pass in Detroit in Week 17 at the line of scrimmage in a key situation. Chased down Ezekiel Elliott on a screen pass in the playoffs in Dallas for a tackle for loss. Clark actually led the Packers defense with five quarterback pressures in the playoffs. This is a guy, a young guy, as you said, who really was coming on strong.
And he pushes people, Mike. He bosses people around, and that's not easy to do when you're a 21-year-old man. I mean, he's able to go in there and really stand up to some of the top guards and centers in this league. And he had some tough tasks along the way as well. You know, Alex Mack and some of these guys that he was facing. But he held up to it. And I think when you look at Mike Daniels, what they have, it's a lot to be excited about.
Yeah, certainly with the Packers, what Kenny Clark did in the playoffs against offensive lines, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Falcons, these were no slouches of guys as far as who he was going against in some of the biggest games of the season, and that really bodes well for his future and the future of the Packers defense. So with that, we'll sign off on Packers Unscripted from the Scouting Combine. Mike Spofford, Wes Hodkowitz from Packers.com. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on the website. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.